Stop and think for just a moment of the many, many ways we capture moments of our lives and then share them with everyone. Snap a photo on your smartphone, and in seconds, you can have it up on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram for friends, family, and followers to see. But here's a question. What will happen in those to those moments in your memories someday in the future when Instagram or Tumblr or Facebook or Flickr no longer exist? We need to preserve the images and ties to our past for those who want to know about us in the future. How best do we do that in this digital age? For advice, we get to pick the brain of someone who does this for a living. Michael Shallcross is the assistant archivist in the Division of Digital Curation. He's with the University of Michigan's Bentley Historical Library. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's quite a mouthful, your title, but give us, first of all, for those who aren't familiar with the Bentley Library, what's its mission and how long has it been around?
Certainly. The Bentley Historical Library was established in 1935, and its mission is to serve as the official archives of the University of Michigan and also to document the activities of individuals and organizations and voluntary associations across the state of Michigan. And our goal is to establish procedures, strategies, and resources for the library to preserve and manage born digital records, that is, office documents, PDFs, photographs, video, as well as digitized materials.
Give us an idea of when you say digitized materials. What does that mean?
Digitized materials are when we scan images or documents, or we convert cassette tapes or reel-to-reel tapes to a digital format.
Okay.
And we part of our mission in preserving born digital is also to archive websites, which we do at the University of Michigan and across the state.
And can you compare and contrast what you do when you curate and preserve digital information versus the traditional, the hard copies, the documents, photos, the audio and videotapes from the past? What are the advantages of archiving digital information, and what are the special challenges?
In some ways, we employ the same principles and practices. We try to maintain the original order of things so that, you know, there's a certain value inherent to the way a producer or record producer manages their own records. But at the same time, digital content has a host of challenges. On the one hand, we have to deal with format obsolescence. The, you know, file formats that we store content in, if they are no longer supported by software or hardware, they are no longer accessible.
Case in point, anybody that had family memories on those old beta tapes.
Exactly.
When beta lost to VHS. Or if you've got them on your VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about obsolescence.
Or if you have WordPerfect formats, WordPerfect word processing documents. So that's one challenge. I guess the other challenge is that in some ways this information is rather ephemeral. You know, it is just stored zeros and ones on some piece of media. And if that, and that media can be a floppy disk, it can be an optical disk such as a CD or DVD, it could be a USB flash drive, or, you know, the hard drive on your computer. And if, anything happens to that storage media, then voila, your information is gone.
You don't even have the version of the shoebox in the basement with the old photographs to fall back on. You have nothing.
Exactly. And, you know, in some respects, you know, high-quality paper will last hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know, a CD might have a lifespan of, you know, 5 to 10 years.
So when we talk about saving digital material, give us an example, if you can, Mike, as far as how someone was thrilled to get material that they perhaps thought was lost forever.
Certainly. Just the other day in our reading room at the Bentley Library, a researcher was interested in finding out about the visits of U.S. presidents to the University of Michigan. The university had previously had this information on a website, but the site has since been taken down. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we have actually archived that site as part of our University of Michigan Web Archives, and so we were able to provide the researcher with an earlier version of the website, and then they were able to find the information they needed.
So for those of us, like, we have a website we're very proud of here at Michigan Radio. It gets created, and then, you know, you move on and keep refreshing it. And I think in a lot of our minds, we think it's gone, it's done, but that's not the case.
We can turn back the clock with our web archives.
How so?
Well, essentially, we take snapshots of websites on an annual basis. We currently are preserving over 800 unique University of Michigan websites and close to 200 websites of individuals and organizations from across the state. And essentially, with web archiving, we preserve a mere copy of that website as it existed at a moment in time. And we are able to view earlier versions of these sites. You can do full text search in them and essentially experience the website as it existed in an earlier period of time.
So I know you were mentioning you got a Michigan radio website right from the beginning back in 2010.
Indeed.
So the idea that, well, that doesn't seem so long now ago, but in a few years down the road, that really will be, that'll be like opening up a Detroit Free Press from 1875.
That's the idea. And, you know, perhaps that in these archive websites might not be of super research value now, but you know, we're thinking ahead 5 years, 10 years down the line, when perhaps the web as we know it has completely changed and these cultural artifacts will let people see how we live today.
I'm speaking with Mike Shallcross, who's the assistant archivist in the Division of Digital Curation at the University of Michigan's Bentley Historical Library. So you do this for a living. What advice do you have for those of us who use all these social media sites? It's Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and Facebook. How do we preserve our user-created content?
Great question. I think there are a couple very simple steps that we can follow. I think in the first hand, always read the small print. You want to make sure that when you put information online into one of these sites that you're going to be able to get it back out. Also, you want to make sure that you still – do you really own that information when it's posted online? I think there have been examples where Facebook and other social media sites kind of lay claim to the material that is user-supplied, and it's also used as part of their business. So I think it's important to understand kind of what it means when you post content online.
It's their play. It's their sandbox. People complain about things Facebook does, and I'm like, hey, it's Mark Zuckerberg's sandbox. They can do what they want.
Exactly.
We need to accept that.
And I think you also want to make sure that you can get – if you put content on there, you can get it back out. Are there, you know, methods for you to download or export content out of those systems? I think another important point, and this applies for social media as well as, you know, things on your own personal computer, is always back up. Lots of copies keep stuff safe. And if you only have one copy, that's a single point of failure. And if that's gone, you're going to lose, you know, very important, you know, records or family mementos. I think a third point is to try to adhere to standards. You know, if you're going to save something in a file format, use a format that is widely used. If possible, that's open, where it's not proprietary or tied to a single piece of software or hardware. Because if you use open standards and open formats, that increases the possibility that it can be reused on other platforms and other systems, and that you will have access to that content, you know, for, you know, hopefully a very long period of time.
Mike, do you trust the cloud?
I think used appropriately, the cloud can be a great resource, but you never want to put all your eggs in one basket. The cloud can be part of an overall strategy of preserving your digital records. So have one copy in the cloud, have another copy on your personal computer, have a third copy and an external hard drive. And of course, you always want to be refreshing, you know, your hard drive or your personal computer. But definitely the cloud, some serious examples of data being lost in cloud. I think Amazon had a situation where a bunch of data disappeared from its servers. There have been cases with Google. Mm-hmm. These things will happen. But if you take steps, if you back up your data and don't just rely on that one storage environment, then you'll hopefully avoid, you know, any significant data loss.
You are echoing the cry that I have heard over the years from the tech people, back it up, back it up, back it up. Mm. And I bet that's probably where a lot of us fall down.
Indeed. I think another important thing, though, is also add metadata. If you take pictures on your with your camera, save them to your computer, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, you might not know just where you took those photos, who's in them, what the event was. So it's always great to at least, you know, in the folder names for your things, you know, include a little information. Or if possible, you know, you could even have a simple text file that listed, you know, who was at the event, when it was, what happened. That kind of metadata really improves your ability to search for and reuse information in the future.
You're echoing what my late aunt, who was kind of our family's archivist, self-appointed, would always say, always write something on the back of that photo, because she was wallowing through photos from the 19th century and early 20th century, and you look at that face and go, who is that?
Mm.
So you're absolutely right. I'm hearing what you're saying, and it makes me realize I have some work to do. Mike Shallcross is the assistant archivist in the Division of Digital Curation at the University of Michigan's Bentley Historical Library. And, of course, you can go to their website and just kind of find a treasure trove of things that you can look through and kind of experience the past. And what is that website?
Indeed. It's bentley.umich.edu.
Mike, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Cynthia.